Today on The Journey.
Down deep in every human heart, there is a desire to be connected in relationship. God made us that way. We need to find a place of meaningful relationship.
The church is a priceless tapestry woven together in meaningful community, each thread contributing to the final piece that proclaims the glory of God. On today's broadcast, Ron Moore speaks to the importance of that creative connection and the significant ways it can beautify your life. First, a word about Ron's inspiring devotional titled Responding to the Generosity of God. There, 60 daily reflections will enrich your quiet time with uplifting thoughts about God's many blessings. It's available without cost at ronmoore.org, and I'll tell you more about it after today's message. Now, here's Ron with the generous gift of community on The Journey.
I'm convinced that Christians fall into a pattern that goes something like this. There's an area of their spiritual life they need to address. They want to get it taken care of. It's dogged them for years. And so they say, this is the time I'm going to do it. So they make some plans. They put some things in place. And they are determined to break this habit or crank it up another level in their spiritual life. And we try to do those things. We try to break those habits. We try to crank it up. And all of our best plans, at some time or another, we fail. And then we find ourselves back into the same old habits. We find ourselves stuck in the same level of spirituality. And far too often, our sincere, prayerful determination to climb out of what we were in just leaves us with failure and guilt. And all of us know that the best and strongest motivation to stay where you are is failure and guilt. So we decided to preach through a series of sermons addressing this issue, but not focusing on ourselves and what we need to do, although there are things certainly we need to do. But our focus is the person of God, and specifically the generosity of God. When we start with who God is and what he has done for us and his generosity to us, then we can move to a fresh life of obedience. Oswald Chambers says it like this: being born from above is a perennial, perpetual, and eternal beginning, a freshness all the time in thinking and talking and in living. I love this. The continual surprise of the life of God. Freshness does not come from obedience, but from the Holy Spirit. So when we know who God is, and we understand how he is at work in our life, and we understand his generosity, then our obedience is simply a response to what God does in our life and who he is. So we started by looking at the generosity of God's love, the fact that he loves us with an unconditional love, the Old Testament word chesed. When we're his child, there is nothing we can do to make him love us less. There's nothing we can do to make him love us more. I don't know about you, but that's about the best news I've ever heard. We considered the generous gift of life, the fact that we are made in the image of God. He puts a purpose and significance to our life. He created us in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In the words of C.T. Studd, only one life, soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And when I am dying, how happy I'll be if the lamp of my life has been burned out for thee. Isn't that the way you want to go out? No fuel in the tank. We considered the generous gift of Jesus. God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son. All his love is channeled through his son, Jesus Christ. Last time we focused on the generous gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said before he left his disciples, before he went to the cross and then ascended, he told them, I'm going to ask the Father and he will give you another counselor. And we looked at that word last time, counselor, the Greek word parakletos, one who comes to another's aid. Jesus was that one there supporting and encouraging his disciples, but he was leaving. So he said, I'm going to send you another parakletos. I'm going to send you another counselor. Here's the difference. He will be with you forever. Spirit of truth. He will be in you and with you. Now, today, we want to focus on God's generous gift of community. This thing called the body of Christ. Down deep in every human heart, there is a desire to be connected in relationship. God made us that way. He wired us that way. We need to find a place of meaningful relationship. Let me give you an example. Anyone ever heard of this thing called Facebook? 550 million Facebook accounts now. 700,000 added every day. 75 languages. One in every 12 people on the planet have a Facebook account. Here's the problem with social networking. It is personably impersonal. I can't see a person's eyes. I can't hear their heart. I can't see their emotions. I can send a message to them anytime I want, and I can shut it off anytime I want. I don't have to interact with them. I can send hundreds of messages and never do one act of ministry. Social networking addresses an issue in our heart, but it leaves us wanting more, and sometimes we go looking in the wrong places for what we're not able to find there. Social networking doesn't do it, but neither does the neighborhood bar or the coffee shop or the gym or the golf course or the bridge club or the book club. Neither does the fantasy football league or that section of lifelong season ticket holders. Those are relationships. Those are acquaintances. But the church offers something different, something more meaningful, something that is deeper, in fact, something that is eternal. The generous gift of community in the body of Christ. Now, all of us know that this body of Christ here on earth is not perfect, made up of imperfect people like you and me. As someone has said, if you find a perfect church, for heaven's sakes, don't join it. When man gets involved in things, we can mess it up, even little things, even things like bulletin announcements. Let me give you some examples. Here's one. Bertha Belch, a missionary from Africa, will be speaking tonight at Calvary Methodist. Come hear Bertha Belch all the way from Africa. You know, I put that one in just for junior high students, but I've enjoyed that all week and says a lot about where I am here. Here's one. The sermon this morning, Jesus walks on water. The sermon tonight, searching for Jesus. I mean, you've got to be careful with sermon titles. Here's my fear every time I leave on vacation. During the absence of our pastor, we enjoyed a rare privilege of hearing a good sermon when J.F. Studd supplied the pulpit. Sometimes it's just leaving out one little letter, just one little letter. Potluck supper, Sunday at 5 p.m., prayer and medication to follow. One more. Again, just one little letter makes a big difference. This evening at 7 p.m., there will be a hymn sing in the park across from the church. Bring your blanket and come prepared to sin. One little letter. Sometimes we miss letters. Sometimes we miss things much more significant. We miss the opportunity to minister to a person in need. We miss the opportunity to address a real hurt. We let people fall through the cracks. Take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2. And as you're turning there, let me set the context for our passage today. This is a story about an extraordinary group of people. In this group were people with some rather checkered pasts. Some had served time for murder. There were adulterers and there were prostitutes. Sexual sins were a common theme in this group. As you work your way down the list of names, you will see people who are known as being a liar and thieves and swindlers. There were gossipers and slanderers. There's those who purposely tried to destroy a reputation of someone else. There were recovering alcoholics and addicts. There were the wealthy who had bowed down to the almighty dollar, and there were people who didn't have two nickels to rub together. There were people who in the group personified arrogance and self-centeredness, and there were people with broken hearts and broken bodies and broken emotions. An unusual mix of people, right? But they came together with this one thing in common. There was a time in their life where they realized their sin. There was a time in life when they realized they could not have a relationship with God. There was a time in their life where they realized who they were and they trusted in Jesus Christ. That was the common denominator. And he made them a new creation. Old things passed away, all things became new. Here's their story. Look at verse 42. This group devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Mark that word devoted. We'll come back to that in a second. Devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now here's a group of people from all kinds of different backgrounds, but they had this in common in this generous gift of community. They were free, finally. They were forgiven, finally. They were transformed by Christ. It was Jesus who made all the difference, and it was Jesus who brought them together, and his Spirit living within them enabled them to interact together like they had never done before. Note that this was a devoted group. That word devoted is better translated continually devoted. It means to have a steadfast and single-minded commitment to a certain course of action. And their single-minded commitment was to the apostles' teaching. They knew that God's word was truth. They wanted to know what God said. They didn't just hear the apostles teach, but they read God's word when they could on their own. They meditated on it. They applied it to their lives. They were committed, they were devoted to fellowship, more than just an acquaintance, more than just a friendship. They were invested in each other's life, the deep fellowship. They were devoted to the breaking of bread. They were devoted to worship, remembering what Jesus had done for them, and they were devoted to prayer because they knew it was only through God's strength and help and following him that they could accomplish anything meaningful. The generous gift of community. I want to give you five reasons why we must have the same commitment, the same devotion, the same steadfast and single-minded commitment to a certain course of action as this early group did here in Acts chapter 2. Five reasons. Here's number one. God's generous gift of community was established by Jesus Christ. The church is not man's idea. It is not an organization that man thought up in church history. Jesus Christ is the one who established the church. Turn to Matthew chapter 16. Look at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then as Jesus so often did, this master teacher, he used the first question to set up the real question. Here's a real question. What about you? Who do you say I am? And that's when Peter gave his great confession in verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed one. You're the one we've been waiting for. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." And look at verse 18. "I tell you that you are Peter, And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Well, there are some who misunderstand this verse and think that when Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, he's talking about Peter. Not the case. Let's look at it. He says, and I tell you that you are Peter. That's the Greek word Petros. It means rock. Petros, the masculine form of the word. And then he says, and on this rock, Petra, feminine form of the word, I will build my church. So he's not talking about Peter anymore. What's he talking about? We'll go back to verse 16. He's talking about that confession. On that confession that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church, Jesus says. And the gates of hell will never prevail against it. Man, we are part of a community of believers that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. Man has put his mark on the church, sometimes not a good mark. But Jesus established the church. It's not an optional thing that Christians do. It's not an optional thing that Christians are a part of. It's not a thing we can kind of maybe serve in or not serve in. This is the body of Christ. And when you are a believer, you have been placed in the church, big C, the church universal, but you express that love for Christ in a local church. And if you're not expressing that, you're missing the generous gift of community. Second reason. God's generous gift of community is encouraged and strengthened by the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 9, verse 31 says this, then the church throughout Judea and Galilee and Samaria enjoyed a time of peace. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. It grew in numbers, living in the fear of the Lord. Now notice the progression there. It was strengthened and encouraged by the Holy Spirit. Then what happened? Then it grew in numbers. You see, man can fill an auditorium. A personality can fill a whole stadium. But only the Holy Spirit can grow a church. Man can come in and he can make things look a mile wide, but it's only an inch deep. But when the Holy Spirit comes in, it's first deep. He drives in the roots. Then there's breadth. It's got to be depth and then breadth. And so we as a church need to be careful that we don't think something spiritual has happened just because a lot of people show up. It's the Holy Spirit that builds a church. And when the Holy Spirit is working in our lives one at a time, then there is depth and there's passion and there's mission that makes the church spiritual weapon in a community for Jesus Christ. But when it's all about us, it's about as far as it gets. Number three, God's generous gift of community protects and proclaims the truth. Paul wrote to a young pastor named Timothy in his first letter. He said this in chapter 3, although I hope to come to you soon, I'm writing these instructions so that if I'm delayed, you will know how people ought to conduct themselves, check this out, in God's household, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. The church is this entity. It's not parachurch organizations, but the church is the entity that protects and proclaims the truth, the Word of God. Unless it comes from this word, we don't have anything to say. That's why this is not a place for political discourses. It's not a place for social sermons. It's not a place for smiley face sermons that have about as much nutrition as smiley face cookies. This is a place that proclaims and has to proclaim, the church is, the Word of God. In his second letter to that same young pastor, Paul wrote this, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge, preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Look at the next verse. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, Timothy, Paul says, keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. Timothy, preach the word. The church is God's gift of community that protects and proclaims the word. Number four, the generous gift of community is God's vehicle to reach our community and our nation and a world with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Before he left, ascended to heaven, Jesus told his disciples this in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Read that with me. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to Samaria and to the ends of the earth. God's gift of community has to be a place of care. We can do things all around the world. We can do things all around the nation. We can do all things all around our community. But if we don't take care of our family here, what good is it? We all know of parents who have done tremendous things in business and even ministry, but lost their family. What good is that? And so we have to care for each other. Galatians 6:2 says this, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And every one of us, we have our burdens. Uninvited intrusions of illness, death of dreams, grief of loss. There are those here today with a heavy guilt of sin, pain of rejection, separation, divorce, challenges of parenting, the silent pain of loneliness. It's amazing how you can be surrounded by a lot of people and still be pretty lonely. Anxiety of a job loss, fear of world events, trap of addictions and legalism and anger and bitterness, and the list goes on. We're broken people, but we have this one thing in common, Jesus Christ. And the church has to be a place of care.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. It's well known that we can't outgive God. But it's less well known that responding to God's gifts not only develops a grateful spirit, it opens your heart to even greater favors. Ron Moore helps you practice that sacred exercise in his devotional called Responding to the Generosity of God. It's 60 days of enlightening meditations will lift your eyes to the riches of God's gifts and your soul to his eternal throne. Responding to the Generosity of God is yours free at ronmoore.org. Again, that web address, ronmoore.org, or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
Someone has defined time as this. I love this simple definition. Time is a stretch of duration in which things happen. Stretch of duration in which things happen. The impact that we make in our life will depend on what happens in that stretch of duration. The legacy we leave will depend on what we do in that stretch of duration. In that stretch of duration, we can either use it and invest it, or we can waste it and never, ever get it back again. When I was in the sixth grade, I had a teacher named Mrs. Dearborn. And she had a huge clock in the back of the room. And for those of us who liked to watch the clock more than what she was teaching in front, she had a sign right under the clock that said, "Time passes, will you?" Took me about 3 years to understand what that meant. who we are depends on what we do in this brief stretch of duration called time.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And don't forget your free copy of Ron Moore's devotional titled Responding to the Generosity of God. It's available in print or as a digital download at ronmoore.org. Or you may call toll-free 866-777-1202. That's 866-777-1202. Have you missed one of Ron's messages or series? Well, you'll find them when you click the broadcast button at ronmoore.org. And if the journey has brightened your day and deepened your walk with Christ, won't you tell your friends and family about our program? Also, please keep in mind, the journey relies on your generous gifts to pay for the airtime that makes this broadcast possible. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron next time as we walk together on the journey.